Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
6:17 now, WWL, Tuesday morning, January 18th. Sunny and nice today, highs of 77. Could be spring-like tomorrow, highs of 74, but get ready. The cold weather is coming. Rain and wind on Thursday, highs of 49. Friday, cold rain with highs of only 39. Won't bust the 40s on Friday, and Dave Cohen can say what he wants, but the pecan leaves have fallen, and that means winter is here. Lows Friday night, 26 North Shore, 32 South Shore. The sun comes back Saturday, but it's going to be a cool weekend. Highs of 46 on Saturday and 49 on Sunday. Right now, 34 degrees in Mandeville, 39 in Metairie, and here in Belchase, it happens to be 37 degrees. And Peter Scharf joins us now, our friend, adjunct professor and criminologist at LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine, Dr. Peter Scharf, to talk about, well, I'll just read what the headline says about an unprecedented crime wave that New Orleans is experiencing right now. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
I'll ask you this. As a criminologist, is it unprecedented?
I think it's a longer-term structural pattern that has been untended. You know, and there's a city council meeting on Thursday that declared a crisis. But, you know, as Covey reminded us, you know, first things first, you focus on the important things and that'll take care of the crises. You know, and it's, you know, this sort of serial alarm we have in the city is misplaced in some ways. There's some real problems within the criminal justice system. You know, division between the different branches, sporadic policies, and retention. And the thing, you know, the Fox story the other day that, you know, I was involved with, and Eric Hessler from the union. And, you know, we both kind of agreed that, that's really what's going to kill you. That's the cancer, not the infection, you know, and it's, you know, we're losing our police. We haven't convinced them that this is a great job. They may have lost a sense of meaning in what they're doing. You know, let's say you're a young cop and you go into the boot, you know, and you tell somebody else, hey, I'm an NOPD officer. What are they going to say? Oh, great. Are they going to say, oh, you're part of the oppressor class? So we have not supported our people. You know, we're paying the piper. You know, we lost net 80 people in the last few months. That's a disaster.
Peter, I'm gonna read this text here, and I'm going to take a break, and I want you to respond to it when we come back, all right? The text says, the real reasons the crime in the city is so bad is because the city is predominantly black, but y'all can't say that on the radio, so why even bring up the discussion at all? All right, I did just say it on the radio to whoever texted this, final four digits 2261 of the phone number, but for you to make that statement, you have to believe that either black people are predisposed to crime or that the reason crime is so bad is because the city is poor. And if that's the case, well, then your statement is wrong, because then you're saying really it's poverty and that not one race or the other is predisposed to crime. And that goes to long-term solutions. Peter, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I do want you to address it when we come back, because if that's what's at the forefront of people's minds, until you clear that hurdle, you'll never get to solutions. 621 traffic now, WWL. 624, 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Tuesday morning, January 18th. Crime sweeping the city. It's not a hyperbole. It's not over-dramatization. It is true. Peter, I wanted you to address, Peter Scharf, our guest, as he is every Tuesday morning, adjunct professor, criminologist, LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine. This texter, 2261, final four digits of the number, who said, The real reasons for the crime in the city is so bad because the city is predominantly black, but y'all can't say that on the radio, so why even bring up the discussion at all? You're a criminologist. You study this for a living. Please address that.
Oh, please. First of all, I love that we can discuss anything. That's amazing about this show.
You have to.
Okay, here we go. You have to. Okay, one, to, you know, say, oh, you know, in African-American neighborhoods, murder's high. In the river parishes, you can go years and not have a murder, and everybody's black. There are also middle-class black neighborhoods in New Orleans where violence is basically non-existent. And, you know, so now what the new research says, and there's a guy at Harvard, Sampson, who studies this, is you have a pattern called concentrated inequality. So you have in the 5th and the 7th districts, you have neighborhoods where you have concentrated inequality. You also have the employer of choice being the dope dealer. And you have drug traffic that, you know, festers in some of these neighborhoods. So the issue is not really race. It's another pattern, this concentrated inequality. And the drug market. Somebody sent me some statistics from 1960. We had 59 murders in the city. And 600,000-700,000 people. So you ask, what has happened over these years? And, you know, it's the dope trade in some ways, that New Orleans has become this great dope market. If you're a dope dealer, you pack. And you pack for a reason, because somebody's going to break into your stash, so you have it. And the city is that, so it's a mistaken inference. The link is not being black. There's some effect of concentrated inequality, and there's a big effect of dope dealing. So, you know.
I don't want to spend a whole morning on that, but that's long-term. And I just want to get that out of the way to address the text. But we got to talk about short-term solutions here. And when I see, this reminds me of pre-Katrina, when I see the police chief and the DA carping at each other and then the council gets involved, Jason Williams, I don't know if somebody called it the blame game. I think the blame game has been conflated somehow along the way with responsibility. It's easy to say you're pointing fingers, but then again, maybe you're just talking about who's responsible and who's not, because both of these men have very responsible positions. But it's not just them, it's the judges and magistrates, etc. So I guess, Peter, I'm asking you, where is the truth in all of this between what the DA is saying, between what the police chief is saying, etc.?
Well, J.P. Morrell, he said, they asked, what are they doing in the city council? And he said, peeling the onion. And what is that? You know, we'll see, you know, as these hearings go on, beginning Thursday, right? And does that become shifting the blame and moving it around? I'm very nervous about what you're saying, by the way, because I think there's a lot of truth to that. And I think we've got to tone it down and really analyze where are the gaps. There's some huge gaps in the criminal justice system. The divisions between the DA and the police chief, divisions between the progressives, quote, and the traditional law enforcement folks, and, you know, we're, and also following the evidence. You know, what I would ask, if I went to the city council meeting, they wouldn't let, well, we're actually, I'm actually going to be there on the 10th testify, but the thing I'd ask is, what are you doing that's consistent with best practice and the evidence, research evidence, that works in policing? You know, are you just running it by the seat of your pants? Or, you know, this isn't blaming anybody, it's blaming everybody. And, you know, how do you get back on track?
Well, let's talk about that when we come back. Peter, how do you get back on track? And the other thing that's disconcerting to me is, if this is going on in public, I got to believe at first it went on in private, the carping back and forth, and now it's gone public in front of the people and the media. More when we return, 6:30, time for WWL First News. After that, we go to Dave Cohen. Whatever money you can get, even though it's not what you deserve. No claim is too big or too small, and they don't get paid until they collect for you. Look at it this way. You didn't start this, right? You went in with good faith. You paid your premiums. You thought you were going to get treated fairly. They're the ones that started this. And I called an insurance company one time and told them, you know what? You are forcing me to get an attorney. And I think that's the way you need to look at this. Call 833-91-STORM. 833-91-STORM. No claim too big, none too small. From McClenny, Mosley, and Associates. 833-91-STORM. You paid for it. You should get what you deserve. ID 38282. 6:14 before 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Tuesday morning, January 18th, going up to 66 today, 74 tomorrow, and then it's going to turn really cold, so get ready for that. Right now, we're averaging around 40 degrees, talking to Dr. Peter Scharf, professor of surgery, research, Louisiana, New Orleans, about crime, as we do every Tuesday morning. Said Sean Ferguson yesterday, we can make all the arrests we want until a back portion of this criminal justice system does its part in ensuring accountability and ensuring consequences to their actions. We're going to continue to spin our wheels, says DA Jason Williams. In the last 9 months, DA's office has accepted and is prosecuting 95% of murder cases, 100% of manslaughter cases, 77% of robbery cases, and 70% of car theft cases. Where's the truth in that? Who's telling the truth? They're both telling the half truths. What's going on, Peter? People don't care about that. All they want is something to be done about the crime.
Right. All right. I'll say something. First of all, it is a December 2022 crisis. This began in late 2019, November. I actually have a date sort of when it started flipping. Mm-hmm. And it was. It should have been obvious to everybody in early 2020 what was going on.
Wait, stop one second. You said you had a date that you could almost go to?
Yeah, we had almost no murders for a number of months, and then the murders started picking up. There was an incident on Washington Avenue. It was a Canal Street shootout. And all of a sudden, the curve turned, mm-hmm. and everybody slept comfortably. What the irony about what you're saying to me is, the people who slept most comfortably are pointing the finger most boldly right now, you know. And it's like, hey, we all slept. Face it, you know, the city council. First of all, there were new people coming on. But this was not, they were very slow to react, let's be real. So we all slept, you know, how else do you say it nicely? And now once it's obvious that, you know, everybody's moving to wherever, you know, all of a sudden it becomes a blame game. Now, I think we need some hard facts to sort out what happened. And I hope the city council does that, like really looking at what the statistics you mentioned. How many prosecutions were there in different categories? How many went through to a verdict? Those are critical questions to ask the district attorney or have other people look at. And the police function, the courts, everybody, you know, to step back. There's a concept in Collins' book, Good to Great, that I love, autopsy without blame. How do you do that as a city? You know, can you do that? Can you put the politics down? Nobody wants to be holding the bag. And the more we blame and move blame around, the more difficult it will be to get to ground truth. Everybody's running for office, I get that. And nobody wants to be held responsible. But we've got to get, you know, I mean, and we got to give, and there are new people in the council. One of the ironies of all this is the truth teller spent 3 years in Atlanta Federal Prison, Oliver Thomas, I'm seeing at 4:30 today. And other people were very quiet about gun violence, let's be real. And there were very few proposals that had any merit whatsoever to cure it. So now let's all chill down and figure out where we go from here. And then we have to deal with these ideological differences. This has become a religious war between the progressives and the more traditional law enforcement types. And religious wars don't get settled easily. People believe what they believe no matter what the input. So there are folks that progress, some of the progressives, no matter what happens, they'll believe in the long term it's good that we've improved the criminal justice system. You know, and on the other side, there are people really who are advocates of going back to 1990 and using prison as our major cure to crime. And we gotta listen. What is in common among these groups? Is there anything anymore that's in common? You know, if not, we gotta get rid of the new guard and go to the new, you know, get people in who listen and problem solve.
Let me take a break, Peter. When we come back, I'm going to finish up with this question, and that is this. Sure. I know you advise a surgery unit, right? Aren't you involved with them?
Yeah.
So at this point, sure, in the city, as far as crime goes, you got a patient that is being rolled into the ER that is bleeding out. And if you're going to look at crime as that patient, what are you going to do to stop the bleeding immediately? You have to do something or you're going to lose the patient. Now, you can go back and do the investigation later as to who did the shooting and who was involved.
Absolutely.
In this. And what. We'll talk about that when we come back. All right, 6:52, traffic now, WWL. 6:57, Tommy Tucker, WWL. A couple of minutes left with Peter Scharf. So, Peter, the city is the patient being wheeled into the emergency room and it's bleeding out due to crime. First thing you got to do is save the patient. Then you can address what led to that patient being wheeled in. What are you going to do?
Well, the first thing is establish confidence. And this is a massive failure in the system right now. Nobody believes them, any of them. You know, so the thing you've got to do, Franklin Roosevelt did it in the bank crisis, Winston Churchill did it in 1940 after Dunkirk, is you got to get people to believe that you understand the problem and you're working on solutions to get better. And then you got to, and this yakking at each other has got to stop. And there's a police chief friend I had, Ewan Williams, who Newark died. But he would say, you know, people would be yammering about welfare mothers and everything else. And this was a serious situation like now. He said, I don't want to hear if it doesn't get to a solution. So I hope the spirit right now is I don't want to hear any of this unless it gets to a solution. So that's the immediate bleeding. Then, you know, you got to address, you know, you got to build up your manpower. Say we're going to build up your manpower. You've also got to work on quality in law enforcement, who you're hiring. And then you need proactive. There's nothing that's a confidence builder like arrests, unfortunately.
And Peter,
so
thank you.
Not success.
I'm sorry, sir. Were you finished? I thought you were done.
No. Just you know, you got to get them. I hate to say it. But, you know, effectiveness is the best cure. Now, when you're down, you know, 150 officers or whatever, it's hard to do that. So you have to assure people that you have a longer-term fix, not long. And the second is that you're effective in solving these horrendous crimes. People shot in the neck, children killed. You can't do that.
Peter, we got to run. I appreciate your time. As always, they got to stop the fighting. I agree with you. They got to get together on an organized plan because everybody pulling in different directions ain't going to work. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week. When we come back, we're going to talk to Arthur Lee.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.